Blog Talk Radio.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.
Maidenswort. Tonight's herb we'll be discussing. Is the maiden a timid young girl? Or, if not treated properly, should you beware of the maiden warrior's bow? Perhaps it's both. We'll be right back with Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your hostess, Miss Susan Weed. Join us in our circle. Welcome to another episode of Green Magic, Green Medicine, with your host, Miss Susan Weed. I'm Daniel Michael, the founder and co-creator of the Main Street Universe Radio Network, and I see Susan is in the queue. As I mentioned in the very brief intro, our herb tonight is maidenswort. And here is your microphone. Welcome, Susan Weed.
Hi. I was awakened the other morning by lots of birds talking about it all.
Oh, yes, they're back.
They are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't just, like, suddenly appear. They had a long flight up from Central and South America.
And I heard that there's an extra large number this year of these wintry snow owls from Antarctica, like a whole bunch of extra ones hatched. And
wow.
As far as Florida, they've been seen. Arctic owl.
I don't even know what to say about that.
According to NPR.
Yeah, it's like, wow, to think about Arctic owls down in Florida. And, you know, at the same time, things are getting warmer. People are saying, oh, what a terrible winter. But all really I have to say about it is that these are the kinds of winters that I was used to as the normal weather pattern for here.
Right.
What I've been experiencing for the past 10 to 12 years is global warming. And so to have a cold winter, to me, isn't unusual. It's like, well, yeah, this is the normal weather for winter. So, at any rate, the snow is melting. I will soon see my snowdrops under there. And one of the very first plants of the year for most of us is commonly called chickweed. Chickweed stellaria. And the common chickweed is stellaria media. Is a plant that likes it chilly. It likes it cold. As a matter of fact, when it gets warm and sunny, chickweed goes away. She hides. And we talked last week and the week before about motherwort, a wonderful herb. And I restricted myself to just a couple of weeks, but motherwort deserves so much more because she's such an amazing plant. And there's a plant that people sometimes confuse with motherwort called mugwort. And it's pretty easy to see how mugwort and motherwort could be confused. So I went out one day, and I was talking to mugwort in my mind, not out loud, right?
Okay.
And I said something like, "Hi, mugwort." Some pretty banal, innocuous kind of thing. And the plant said to me, "Don't call me that." It's kind of like, oh, well, I didn't mean anything by it. And she said, no. You know, when I'm called mugwort, people confuse me with motherwort. And we have to admit, that's true. It's an easy confusion. I've heard lots of people do it. She said, so call me cronewort. And you can see that I have my silver hair on every leaf. Well, that made a lot of sense to me. And I appreciated being able to call her cronewort. And we're going to talk about cronewort in weeks to come. But, of course, she's a triple goddess. And so if there was a motherwort and a cronewort, then there has to be a
maidenwort.
Right. So I started walking around and saying, hello. Not out loud. Is maidenwort here in my mind and my heart and my spirit? Hello, is maidenwort here? Maidenwort! Maidenwort, hi. Maidenwort, which one of you is maidenwort? And because it was in the spring, because it was in the cool weather, although it could have been in the cool weather of the fall when she comes back, chickweed was growing. And I sat down next to a patch of chickweed, and I, you know, in my head said something like, oh, I'm having such a difficult time finding maidenwort. I wonder what plant maidenwort is. And chickweed went, in that kind of sneaky, funny, cute way that little girls have of going tee-hee.
Yes, I had a little sister.
A little sister, so just like that, right?
Yeah.
And I looked at her and I went, oh my gosh, but of course, this is the maidenwort. She has white flowers, and the color of the maiden is white. She grows in the spring, the time of the maiden. And, you know, some flowers are pollinated by bees or other insects, and some flowers are pollinated by the wind. But chickweed, in true maiden form, does it herself. No insects. No wind. She closes her petals and fertilizes herself. Thank you very much.
Mm.
So I just looked at her and I realized what a gift it was to have the awareness of these archetypes, and that these archetypes have been meaningful to human beings all around the planet, although they may call the archetype by different names and might have slightly different forms or attributes. Still, we have the sense of the great Mother Goddess, and we know her in her three aspects, maiden, mother, and crone. So it was, in a way, a very easy puzzle to put together. That I knew motherwort, and mugwort told me she was cronewort, and then all I had to do was sit down and chill out, and maidenwort would come and chill out with me. And that is one of the things that chickweed is happiest to do for us, is to help us to chill out. And we think about it. This little green plant, it creeps across the ground. It's tiny little green leaves and small little white flowers. And it likes to grow in the shade. It likes to grow where it's damp. It likes to grow where it's rich. And it likes to grow where it's cool. And that's what it brings to us, this rich, mineral-rich coolness. It soothes. It cools. It opens. It disperses. It dissolves. It causes things to move and flow in the body. Chickweed is delightful in salads. As a matter of fact, once teaching in Holland, in Amsterdam, I asked my class to go out in the middle of the winter, I think it was February, and to see what plants they could find. And they broke up into several small groups. And there wasn't a lot of duplication between the groups because they agreed to go to different places. But the one duplication there was from all of the groups was chickweed, that they had all found chickweed growing, one in a vacant lot, planter where other plants were growing. And even right now, with snow up to my knees still on the ground, I have chickweed growing in one of my pot plants here in the house. As the spring light has come on, the chickweed seeds have responded, have sprouted, and it's a little low-growing sedum that I have, and the chickweed is now just sprouting up and growing out and growing over. And this little plant, I will soon have to harvest it and put it in my salad. It has just a wonderful, nutty, delicious green taste in salads. It makes a really delicious pesto because of that kind of nutty taste of the leaves. You don't have to put nuts or cheese in the pesto, just oil, salt, garlic, and the chickweed. That's the only complaint I've ever heard anybody voice in terms of eating chickweed, is if you wait until it is too overgrown, it gets tough. And that is certainly true. It's got a kind of a stem and then leaves and a stem and then leaves. And as it gets older, that stem part gets stiffer and longer. We're talking about a small plant here, so we're not talking about something even woody. You could, you know, still with some effort chew it up and get it down, but it's certainly the younger chickweed that is going to be the very best in your pesto or in your salad. And, you know, it wasn't long after Stellaria media, the little chickweed, had told me that she was maidenwort. Then a friend of mine who was studying traditional Chinese medicine came to visit. And they had been introduced to a book called The Yellow Emperor. And The Yellow Emperor is supposed to be one of the oldest texts on healing and herbal medicine. And it's thought to be, it's claimed to be about 3,000 years old. Self says that the remedies and the things that are written down in the book come from things that have been done for 3,000 years. So there's a possibility that some of this information could be up to 6,000 years old. We don't know that for certain, just a possibility. At any rate, excuse me, she came over, and she said she had been kind of delving into a translation of this, and that she had to come and share this recipe with me because she knew that it would be of great interest to me. And we hadn't been talking for a while, not falling out, just both pretty busy. And so she didn't know that I had been looking for maidenwort. At any rate, the recipe that she showed me it was a recipe for women's problems. And by that we were to take that it was, you know, especially problems with the reproductive organs. And it called for equal parts motherwort, cronewort, and maidenwort. Of course, not by those names. Called for it by the Chinese names. But it called for those three herbs and said they were to be used in equal parts. And for me, that was, I don't know, it was almost like a magical confirmation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That if I had said to myself, hello, what's going on here? First, this plant tells you that it's like, don't call it mugwort, what all the books call it, and to call it something else. And then this other plant gives you an alternate name, and now how they all show up in a 6,000-year-old Chinese herbal. So, you know, Alice in Wonderland, real life is ever so much more exciting, isn't it? I have always known chickweed to be the kind of herb that helps things to move in the body and thus helps us to remove things that we don't want. And when I think chickweed, that is the very first thing that I think is removal of cysts or lumps in the breasts, in the ovaries, any place in the body, but especially women's places. There's something about these three herbs, the maidenwort, the motherwort, and the cronewort, that individually, standing for an ability to help women's bodies and things that are going on in women's bodies. You know, having a lump or a cyst on your ovary can be really scary. I know too many women who've been told by their doctor, you have something growing in your ovary. I suggest we remove both ovaries so we never have to worry about this again. And who said yes. And you wonder if they would be so quick to do that with testicles. It is castration of a woman. And I'm certainly not against removal of the ovaries when it's absolutely needed, but I am against doing it as a preemptive strike, as a let's get rid of them before they get cancer. As if there's something growing there, so let's just take them out. And a wonderful number of women have had really fabulous success in removing growths and ovaries from their ovaries by using chickweed tincture. And that's a vodka tincture made with 100 proof vodka and the fresh chickweed. In some parts of the United States, you can be harvesting chickweed right now. If the snow cover is gone and you've got any disturbed area, I bet you can find some chickweed. It's great times, early as it starts in the spring, to put up a chickweed tincture. And if you want to see me doing it, I think there's a YouTube of me making a chickweed tincture. And that chickweed tincture is taken in rather lavish doses, a dropperful to two dropperfuls at a time, up to four times a day. So you could be theoretically taking up to eight dropperfuls of chickweed tincture a day. Most women start with a dropperful three times a day and only raise the dose if they have a particularly large growth or a large cyst or a dermoid cyst, or something that, for some other reason, is very worrisome to them. Chickweed, I started out talking about putting it in my salad and making pesto of it so that you would understand what a safe, nutritive herb chickweed is. As a matter of fact, I get a little giggle out of this. There was an herbal put out by a very noted pharmacognosist, and he had chickweed in his book. He didn't in the second edition. He changed it in the second edition. But in the first edition, it said, I've been forced to put chickweed in this book because unscrupulous herbalists, I think he meant me, because my book, focusing on chickweed, had come out that year. Unscrupulous herbalists would have you believe that chickweed is a medicinal herb. It most certainly is not, and I can prove it to you in one sentence. It never killed anyone. Because you see, as a pharmacognosist, his definition of medicine was capable of killing. And so chickweed certainly couldn't be a medicinal herb because it didn't have that kind of action. It wasn't toxic in any way to the human body. So it's safe for pregnant women. It's safe for lactating women. It's safe for children. It's safe for own people. It's safe to use if you're using other things, drugs or so on. It's kind of like eating lettuce, only it's a little safer than lettuce because lettuce has some opium-like alkaloids in it, which the chickweed doesn't. What the chickweed has is saponins. Now, that word sounds like soap, saponin, and saponins are soapy substances. If we eat soap, blah, our body doesn't like soap, and it throws it up. Yuck. So there's a plant called soapwort, saponaria. It's actually related to chickweed. It's in the same family. And if you eat saponaria, you might throw up indeed because it has a lot of saponins in it. As a matter of fact, it's used to make like a dry wash for old carpets in museums. You take the soapwort and through a pretty simple process, you can turn it into something that you can use to lift dirt out of old, old fabrics. Very soapy indeed. But chickweed has saponins, but just enough to make things slippery and slidey in the body and not so much to make us So this is how the chickweed actually helps women to dissolve their ovarian cysts. One woman called on my help show and said that her doctor wanted to do exploratory surgery because there was a very large cyst on her ovary, and she didn't want that to happen. She wanted to use herbs. We talked about chickweed. She started taking chickweed tincture, and she went back to see her doctor. Her doctor insisted that she come back in 6 weeks, and they did another sonogram, and her ovarian cyst was still there. And she was surprised to see it still there because she didn't feel it in her body anymore. And the doctor insisted that that she allow him to schedule surgery. And she said no, that she really had a feeling that the cyst was gone and that she was surprised to see it and that she wanted to come back in 2 weeks. And even though the doctor was not happy, that was indeed allowed. And when she returned in 2 weeks and they did another sonogram, the cyst was indeed completely gone. And the doctor supposed that, in fact, the cyst had pretty much been gone, but the shell, the outer harder shell of it, was still there at the six-week mark. And that's why, because the MD said, well, it couldn't possibly have just disappeared in 2 weeks. It must have been disappearing all along. So it's interesting how these soap-like substances work and how they help to remove certain kinds of cysts and growths. And we think about how soap works because we're all familiar with soap, right? So if we have some food that's greasy, like, say, spaghetti with tomato sauce, and there was some olive oil in the tomato sauce, and we take that plate and we wash it with cold water, there's probably going to be spaghetti and tomato sauce stuck on it. If we wash it with hot water, we're going to get the spaghetti off, but there might be a little of the tomato sauce, and there surely will be an oily feeling on the plate. If we use even a drop of soap, we can get that oil off. What's happening? The oil is hydrophobic. It fears water. It repels water. That's what we do when we want to make something waterproof. We oil it, and then it repels the water. So when we're trying to wash something that has oil on it, we can't just do it with water because the oil literally pushes the water away. The soap causes the fat to emulsify, which means that it's now not afraid of water anymore. Now, sometimes an emulsification can break, which means the fat can go back to being afraid of water. But the idea of the soap is that it's an emulsifier, and that allows the fat to become soluble in water so the water can move it away. Now, the blood, of course, is a watery substance. It's often compared to ocean water. And so the blood finds it difficult to carry away fatty tumors because the fat of the tumor is afraid of the water of the blood. And the water of the blood can't get near enough to it to actually move it or remove it. But the saponins in chickweed, which are soluble in vodka, so we make a vodka, 100-proof vodka tincture with it, when they're in the blood and contact these kind of fatty tumors or hormonal tumors, because hormones are specialized kinds of fats, then just like that drop of soap on the oily plate, the chickweed in our blood allows the blood now to start picking up that cyst or that tumor and carrying it away. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's fascinating.
Now, I am sure that there is at least one, if not many, listeners going, will it make me lose weight?
Uh-huh.
I like this idea, this drop of soap. It breaks down the fat and it allows the blood to remove it, because this is part of the problem with being overweight, is that the fat cells are resistant to being broken down.
Hmm.
And the short answer is yes. It can help you lose weight, but not more than any other herbal beverage. In other words, green tea can help you lose weight. Chickweed infusion can help you lose weight. Nettle infusion can help you lose weight. Anytime you drink an herbal beverage instead of fruit juice or soda pop, you're going to lose weight. Anytime you drink an herbal beverage at the beginning of a meal, you're going to eat 100 calories less at that meal, and that's enough to cause a slow but steady weight loss. So it doesn't seem to be that chickweed's magic extends to the fat cells. I wouldn't put it past it.
Right.
But I'm not seeing really strong evidence of it. But we have seen studies that show that drinking 3 or 4 cups of green tea a day definitely affects the set point of metabolism and helps people lose weight.
Mm.
And we have seen good studies showing that consuming a cup of hot liquid at the beginning of a meal or even a bowl of soup will cause people to eat about 100 calories less at that meal, thus, again, encouraging a weight loss if that's what we want to have happen. But chickweed is perfectly safe even if you don't want to lose weight. It's not like a miracle herb. You drink chickweed and the weight is going to fall off no matter what you eat. It's just not going to be that way. I don't think it's going to be that way ever with anything, but that certainly remains to be seen. Chickweed is a nutritive herb, and it's one of the reasons that I am such a big fan of it, because I love the little nutritive weeds. To me, they are like the powerhouses of nutrition. You know, we called this show the magic and mystery of herbs. And I'm always talking about green blessings and the kinds of things that come unbidden and uncalled for, just growing up in our sidewalks, in our gardens, and so on. And chickweed is certainly one of these green blessings. I have found it in parks and vacant lots and gardens and freshwater deltas as they go into the ocean just about everywhere I've been if I'm there at the cool time of the year. It's a ubiquitous plant. It has a lot of uses, and we've actually just gotten started talking about the uses of chickweed. We haven't really talked very much about using it as an infusion. We haven't talked at all about using it as an oil. So we're going to come back next week, and we're going to talk some more about Stellaria Media. Meanwhile, if you want to read more about the Little Star Lady, Green Book Healing Wise, the Second Wise Woman Herbal, has a 30-page section on chickweed with lots of chickweed recipes and fun and facts. And as a matter of fact, I'll read a little bit of that to you when we get together next week, because some of it is really quite amusing and interesting and fascinating. And meanwhile, come and visit me at SusanWeed.com. Over 5,000 pages of free health information for you. Active forum, lots of interesting things going on there. And if you want to get any of my books, please come to the wisewomanbookshop.com. There you'll find my green book, my book, Wise Woman Herbal for the Childbearing Year, Breast Cancer Question Mark, Breast Health Exclamation Point, The Wise Woman Way. My new book down there, Sexual and Reproductive Health, The Wise Woman Way, and Breast Cancer Question Mark, Breast Health Exclamation Point, The Wise Woman Way. Lots of things for you, books, videos, DVDs, CDs, MP3s. We aim to please in all the ways we can. Thanks so much for having me here at the Main Street Universe. Once again, our time has whizzed by.
Yes.
And it's been a delight, as always.
Absolutely. Lots of interesting information in there, including the whole fat and the water and oil thing, and it'll all be there and all in the archive for people to listen back to what I call the magical time machine that is the archive listen that can magically whisk you back into time. So anyway, thank you very much again.
And we'll be back next week with more on chickweed. Green blessings, everybody.
All right. Green blessings.
Forbidden archaeology, forgotten history, divination, magic, cryptozoology, UFOs, nature, science, and spirit. All this and more right here on the Main Street Universe Radio Network.